Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin here on the American Tech Network, apparently. And we're so glad that all of our friends overseas can join in with us and watch and see where the show goes. I can't wait to see where the show goes because, I'm pretty sure I just have no idea. It's great to be with all of you today. Ben, how are you doing?
I am fantastic.
Excellent. Excellent. And Chuck, how about you?
I am great, Jeff. Just think of me as your big Easter egg.
Chuck, that's how I think about you all the time.
I didn't need to know that, Jeff.
You have no idea what I want to do with your bunny ears.
Oh, moving on.
Dave, how are you?
I am doing great, hanging in there, and glad to be here.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, it's great to be here with all of you. And hold on, just came up with an idea for a show title. Chuck's Bunny Ears.
No, that will not be the show title.
I wrote it down. It's a possibility now.
No, there are going to be better things, I feel sure.
All right, so all of you, some behind the scenes stuff. We come up with show titles based on whatever randomness happens during the show, and we'll have several to choose from. And then Tom, he's awesome because he takes care of getting the shows actually published after I process them. And he gets to choose the title based on the list that we give him. So if Chuck's Bunny Ears becomes the show title, it's because Tom felt it was the best of the titles. That's really not making you feel any better, is it, Chuck?
No, Tom, there's a Frank one in it for you if you find another title.
Yeah. Oh, see, this could be a great side gig for Tom. Yeah, Tom's show title bribes. Ooh. Now, see, there's another possible show title right there. I better
That's a better one.
Tom's show title bribes. And see, look at that, too. And we haven't even actually really started the show yet.
No, but the first one just makes me want to, I would think, just makes the listener want to run. The second one makes them want to listen to see, you know, what the story is. So
I think it's on the demographic, Chuck.
Well, maybe so. I better shut up. I'm just digging myself in deeper.
All right. Well, since it's the Mac show, we'll talk Mac stuff or Apple stuff in general. And once again, we have an obligatory story that we have to hit. And it's the announcement that Apple's Worldwide Developer Conference is June 10th through 14th this year. And the assumption, based on the telegraphing Apple has been giving us over the past several months, is that this is going to have a very heavy AI focus. And there you go.
Amazing.
That's this week's show.
And the show is over.
Right.
This doesn't feel like this should be any big surprise.
No. Tim Cook has been very clear that they're working on their AI initiatives, and Apple mm-hmm. has been giving us AI based tools for quite a while. They just haven't been the current fad of large language models.
Yeah.
But they've been giving us AI and machine learning or ML tools for quite a while that work in the background. You use them every day and you don't even realize it. Like if you take photos with your iPhone. Okay. Well, there's AI and ML working along with you every time you tap that little photo button. And when you're doing edits in the Photos app, well, there's AI and ML as part of that. Machine learning is happening on device so that you can, or so that your phone can suggest to you things that are probably appropriate for the moment. Like, hey, you should probably leave now. Even though you don't have an appointment on the calendar for you going to work every day, your phone figures out that's what you're doing and then can suggest, hey, you should leave now because traffic is bad. All that stuff that we've been taking advantage of without thinking about it. That's Apple doing AI and ML, but
I
it'll be
mean,
more now.
yeah. Plus, doing a little bit of Kremlinology here. The invites are clearly in Siri colors.
They are in Siri colors. The logo, my first thought was, oh crap, Apple's getting into Xenomorphs because the W looks way too close to Wayland Corporation to me.
Yes. Yes, Apple is being acquired by Weyland-Yutani.
Yes.
They will be building better worlds.
That's right. One xenomorph colony at a time. But yes, I'm with you. The colors are very Siri. And Apple doesn't do stuff like this by accident. So, yeah.
No. And this is one of the more obvious little clues.
All right. So, what other clues have you seen, Ben?
Well, was that other clue with the Jaws? I'm forgetting we talked about last night.
Oh,
Oh
right.
yeah, the capitalized AI.
What did he say?
He said amazing. Was it amazing? I forget.
Yeah, clearly the way he said it just really stuck with us.
Absolutely something that begins with I.
Absolutely impressive or something, or I don't know.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, so kind of a stretch for him to get the AI in there.
Yeah,
Meaning
but
it was for him to get it in, it wasn't memorable enough for us to actually remember what he said without really
apparently,
working at it.
Mr. Marketing Chief got the point across.
Even if he hadn't said that, and even if it's just coincidental, and we don't know because he's not telling us. It doesn't matter because it's very clear this is the year that Apple is going to bring AI to the forefront in their presentation. When we've seen this in previous WWDC keynotes, Apple shows you the AI and ML stuff they're doing, but they don't use those terms. I think this year we will see those terms just openly used.
Oh, go ahead, Chuck.
Well, no, go ahead, Ben, because I'm going to take us in another direction.
Yeah, as I was going to say, at this point, they pretty much become industry generic terms.
So that's a great point, Ben, and that just segues perfectly because what I was going to say is, was Apple making a mistake by not using those terms? Or do you think that they were maybe we were the ones that were setting the expectations too high because they weren't using those terms? Maybe that's what we thought they should be using, or maybe they were trying to set the expectations low. I don't know. I mean, I think it's great because unfortunately Apple's been taking a beating in the tech press and the financial press about their alleged lack of utilization or paying attention to AI. I don't for a second really believe that. I think because I've watched Siri, and I've watched Siri get, I hesitate to say smarter, but it's kind of gotten smarter over time without a lot of fanfare. We've talked plenty of times about how, yeah, on Friday mornings it knows where I'm going to go. On Wednesday evenings, it knows where I'm going to go if I have a pattern. Those are the kind of things that, kind of fit into the way Apple does things. They don't necessarily just scream at you. And if you wanted to set those up manually, you could, but it just suddenly subtly says, hey, we're here to help.
It was
Yeah,
absolutely
and
incredible.
absolutely incredible. There we
yeah,
go. Cute.
absolutely.
Cute.
But I mean, Apple was the first company to put what are now known as NPUs or AI cores in their chips. So while people have thought they were behind the curve, they've been way ahead of it.
Okay, here's one of the problems that comes up when we look at what Apple's doing versus what the rest of the market is doing. And it's that Apple isn't focused on following whatever the public trend is. They're interested in whatever their master plan is. So they've been very invested in AI for a long time, but they didn't immediately jump on the glitzy circus bandwagon of LLM when that really took off, what, a couple years ago when ChatGPT became a thing, and everyone's been rushing to emulate that. Excuse me, while Apple has stayed the course. We saw the same thing with Chromebooks or
Yeah.
netbooks. Remember,
No,
all
notebook.
of the tech pundits were going off about how Apple is falling behind and they're just not they're not competing, and because they weren't making netbooks, and the whole time Apple was saying, why would we make a netbook? Why would we make an inferior product? And I
Yeah.
think we're seeing the same thing now.
Yeah, while working on the iPad the entire time.
Right. And how big is the netbook market now?
Zero.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Does it exist?
It's been eaten up by the aforementioned Chromebooks and iPads.
Which were two items that were not even in existence when all the so-called pundits and so-called experts were screaming so loud about the netbooks.
And
Yeah,
it is kind of, oh, go ahead, Ben.
and as someone who has some experience with those netbooks,
I
they
do too.
sucked.
They were horrible. I had one.
Oh, ouch.
They weren't near powerful enough to run Windows.
Oh my God, painful.
Yeah, I mean, I'd get people at the Geek Squad all the time, like, "Well, this can't do this." Like, well, you have 32 gigabytes
It was the
of
Atom
storage.
processor.
Yeah. 32 Atom processor, 32 gigabytes of storage,
Right.
and
Of
Windows used up the
storage?
most. Yes,
Storage.
and Windows used up most of that.
Right.
No.
Wow. I never used a netbook. And I saw a few, and just looking at them, they look like cheap toys.
They
Much.
were.
Wow.
I distinctly remember people bringing netbooks to meetings at that point, and they couldn't keep up with anything. I mean, it just it they were forever. It seemed like booting them and then have to wait to wait to wait and then try to type something in, and it sometimes it couldn't even keep up with, and they weren't the best typists. No insults intended, but the netbooks just couldn't keep up. They were, it was just a mess. They couldn't find anything, once they typed it, which may have been a failure of theirs. But yeah, it's like, why do you even have this? A pen and paper would be better.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But I don't, Jeff, I don't know what all you have queued up here for the, but I also think there was something this week about, Apple's entry into the foldable market, allegedly now delayed until 2027, which is not an announcement. It's one of those assumptions.
Rumors.
And it's like, okay, foldables, yeah, they're out there, but does anybody really love them? Do they really bring anything that compelling to the party?
There are people that absolutely love their foldable phones.
Yeah.
That
But
said, everyone that I know that has a foldable phone has screen problems.
I mean that if you look what are now known as just normal phones that were, and what were once referred to, and I cringe saying this, phablets.
I do not like that word at all.
Apple let Samsung run wild for a bit with those. It wasn't till they knew they could come out with something that wasn't just competitive in the market, but was a market beater, that they pulled the trigger, and well, everybody's really happy now.
Yeah, well, Apple does things their way, and they tend to enter a market after everyone else is there. They let everyone else take the fall for them.
Yep, Apple, other or Samsung prototypes externally, Apple prototypes internally.
Yes.
The phablet thing, thinking back, is interesting because right now we have, I don't remember because I never wanted one. It never appealed to me. But we have the large iPhones, then we have the iPad mini. Admittedly, the iPad mini you can't make phone calls with, but was it ever realistic to expect somebody to hold an iPad mini sized device up to their head? So
No.
yeah, exactly. So, that's one of those things like, okay, I get the idea. Look, we always all want bigger screens. I know I'm, as I'm a sucker for screen real estate, but I want a screen that doesn't have like a line through it or doesn't start to get worn out after the first month or two of use. And that's where if somebody can pull that off with a new material, then great. I'll be the first one to take a hard look at it. But until then, I just feel like it's a product that's guaranteed to disappoint me as it gets older.
It's a publicly available beta right now.
Yeah, that's fair to say.
And for those of you that have done it, it's very kind of you to support those companies in their efforts by purchasing one of these.
Yes. Purchase ma many of them so they can get better. And then Apple can put out one that actually works.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it'll be a phone or if it'll be an iPad.
Or both.
It could be both. Yeah, it's I feel like with the advances we've been seeing from Apple over the past few years, just each year we get that much closer to Apple being able to actually give us the Knowledge Navigator. Man, and that video, when it was released, was that what, early 90s, late 80s?
Something like that, yeah.
I remember watching it and just thinking that is the thing that I need. And that is the holy grail that I've been waiting for ever since the video. Never, and it
And
never could happen when Steve Jobs was there because it's not the sort of product he would allow to happen. If for nothing else, and simply because it came out of the Scully era,
yeah.
but it can definitely happen now.
Well, it's pretty close to it. I mean,
We are very close to it.
everybody's dancing around different things. Like, you can ask, I can't say it. You can ask some of the smart devices to try to book you a table on OpenTable for a given restaurant. Now the degree, I guess my problem always was that inevitably some of those decisions I would feel like need some back and forth. Like if I just say, I want concert tickets for this show 2 weeks from now, I want to choose my seats. I don't want the AI spending a few hundred dollars of my money and then, I'm sitting behind a pillar. So there are things like that, details that still need to be worked out as to, what you would be satisfied with. And if I want a reservation tonight for dinner at a given restaurant at 6 o'clock, No, I don't. If it's only available at 8, then okay, I'm going to go somewhere else. And those are the kind of decisions that, I can see would be a problem for some of these services that look great on in the Knowledge Navigator video or in science fiction or whatever, but just aren't realistic. At least not right now.
At least not yet, but maybe this fall. All right, so I feel bad because I didn't point out right at the beginning that that as usual, we are using Dave's show notes from In Touch with iOS. So thank you, Dave.
Welcome.
So here we go. Next story, just like the first one, right out of Dave's show notes. There's a phishing attack that actually really sucks, and it's targeting Apple device users. Well, actually, iPhone specific. Is that correct?
Yeah, it was iPhone and I, yeah, it
iPhone
was.
and iPad.
It affected some iPads too.
Okay.
iOS, iPadOS,
Okay, there we go. So an iOS iPad OS phishing attack, and what you get is the legit actual reset password for your Apple ID dialog that pops up on your screen. So it's not like someone has crafted their own version of it.
right.
They're calling that actual screen. And so if you tap allow, then it gives the attacker the code to reset your Apple ID password. There's more involved in this, the gist is once you start getting the password reset dialog to pop up, it just keeps happening and happening and happening and happening. And the idea is that if it just keeps showing up and showing up and showing up, eventually you will just give in to make it go away and tap allow. And that's when they get the code so that they can reset the password for your Apple ID, and then they can ultimately get access to your account. And am I remembering correctly? It will run 100 times before
Yeah,
it
it'll
stops.
annoy the heck out
Yeah.
of you.
Yeah. So this doesn't give an attacker direct access to your device, but it gives them the means to ultimately take control of your Apple ID.
It's social engineering. They're
Yeah.
trying to get you to lure you into falling for it. I mean, and
Yeah.
we get those notices all the time when we're using them. MFA and connecting your Apple ID, all that, but unfortunately, people fall for this stuff all the time. It's because they think, oh, this is legit. It's coming from Apple.
Yeah. Right.
And
And I do know people that have had other pop-up dialogues that just kept recurring, and eventually, because they were just tired of it, they went ahead and said yes to try and make it go away, and then they were screwed.
right.
Ben, you're about to say something.
Yeah, and this is really effective since, let's face it, the majority of people are not us.
Right.
They're just going to click allow. And, well, Bob's your uncle.
Well, it's not as bad as a friend just called me the other day having problems because you get that screen that comes up on his Windows machine. Your machine is locked. You have to call this phone number to. For Microsoft support, and I don't want to pound him. Why did you call that number?
You mean he actually called the number?
He called the number, yes. But
Oh
I
my,
asked him, did
yeah.
you give any information out? No.
Oh.
That's,
Honestly, I got those all the time at the Geek Squad.
yeah,
I just had to
remember,
tell them, it's like,
and you couldn't get out of it other than you had to force to shut down the machine and then clear out your history and cookies on that.
yeah.
And still, it's not
And a
full.
lot of the, yeah, a lot of the time that is it, let them go, like log me in, so they had full control. It's just like,
Any desk is that's the
yeah,
rule.
it's just like, yeah, we can't do anything. The only thing we can do is pretty much wipe your machine and start over.
Hope you have a backup of your data.
No, I don't.
They don't.
No, they never do, sadly.
And
Yeah.
that's why we beat on that particular topic so often,
Yeah.
because we all get those calls, and you feel really bad for somebody that, that doesn't have any option to go. And I mean, even if it were a month ago, at least you're not going to lose everything. But people just constantly don't back up.
I was talking to somebody the other day that I associated with, and she tells me that, oh yeah, my Mac was sitting on my seat, and I had to stop suddenly, and then she had something with water in it or something, and then
Oh
the
no.
water it fell to the floor in her car. Water hit it, and I said, first question I asked her, did you have a backup?
No. No.
Okay, well,
I didn't think I needed one.
say goodbye to your files. You didn't back it up.
Well, unless you want to pay a fortune for recovery.
Well, and depending on how valuable that data is, I mean, you might do it.
I wonder
But it
even
would have
Drive
been cheaper to
Savers.
have a backup.
I even wonder if Drive Savers and all those like those types of services can do that. Because since those drives are soldered to the board, aren't they?
Yeah, depending on what they on how it's set up, they can actually like unsolder the
The
chips
chips.
and
Oh,
put them in
okay.
a reader
That's true.
and work the data out that way.
And therein lies the extreme cost of doing that.
Yeah.
On top of the already extreme cost of recovery. You'll be paying more for the recovery than you ever did the machine, in even if that's a really high-end machine.
Like I say, people, back up.
That's right, back up.
Well, and that's, you guys make some really interesting points here, that it feels like it's not that expensive to order something like Backblaze,
No.
or or get a second drive and clone it. I mean, even that, even if you, again, if you did that once every month, it'd be better than nothing. But I get it. It feels like money that you don't think you'll ever need, but
Until you do.
you could pay for years of any of those services or any of that with what it would cost. And the bad news is that, okay, even if the data is so important to you that you're willing to drop $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 or more, there's no guarantee that they can actually get it back. So it's not like, oh my God, I made a mistake. Okay, I'll buy my way out of it. You might be able to, but you also might not.
And even if it's just Time Machine,
I suggested
just
that. Did you have Time Machine set up?
no. Oh, I got a drive, but I never connected it.
I never connected. I forget.
And all you need to feel every penny is well spent, or every tuppence is well spent on a service like Backblaze, it's like a couple months ago, I was missing a file. I have no idea why it was just gone. So who knows what I did? I was being a stupid human. That's all I can figure. But Backblaze
Hey,
and
Blackblaze running. Sometimes even forget about it after I started it up, and it's running.
I remember what it was now. Holy crap, it was crazy. I have all of my photos for the Photos app on an external drive.
Nah.
And the drive corrupted.
Oof.
Oh.
So it was the entire photo library. I was corrupted.
Did you have a redundant backup?
Backblaze.
There you go. There you go.
That's what it was. And right there, Backblaze doesn't matter how much I've paid over time and how much I'll pay in the future. It paid for itself
Sure
right
did.
there with that one data recovery. All right. So look at us. We're just cranking through our stories.
We're being professional. What's up with that?
I don't know.
Hey, before we leave it, Jeff, Bob Beach in the chat room says, why don't people just create new files on OneDrive or iCloud? If you use OneDrive, Office files automatically save. There's no excuse these days. Yeah, good
Oh, there
point.
isn't. Yeah, if you're using, if you're, yeah, I agree with you, Bob, on that one. I mean, with me supporting OneDrive corporate as well as I use it personally, yeah, when you're in, you're OneDrive just works. And what the great thing about OneDrive is now they're implementing a folder redirection on Macs now, that that's becoming a thing where if you put stuff on your desktop, if you're not using iCloud, you put your desktop documents, all pictures, all that stuff, they'll automatically back up to OneDrive.
I am totally with you on that. My workflow for all of my client projects, everything lives in Dropbox. And
Dropbox
that's
is
because
another one,
Dropbox was the thing that I started using long ago before OneDrive was a thing. And but yeah, OneDrive, Dropbox, whatever. And so it's all there. I do not, however, treat that as a backup. And I'm actually backing up my Dropbox to Backblaze.
yeah.
And it goes to Synology.
Yeah,
And
if you're,
since it's
yeah.
local, it's also going to Time Machine. Anyhow, all the stuff is backed up everywhere.
Oh,
Yeah, if you
we're not
only have,
normal.
but still, if you don't have multiple avenues of backup, you're not backed up.
Right.
No.
At least there's
Correct.
something.
On site
And
and off site.
don't overlook iCloud. I mean, you know, there are
Yeah.
Yeah.
there are some issues there. But again, it's I'm not sure any of these systems is absolutely 100%
No.
perfect.
No.
But you know, they're all kind of in the mid to high 90s. And so that just
Redundancy.
improves your odds massively.
Yeah.
Mean, just like they say, photographers who do backups. You should have two drives, three drives on site, and then you have two drives put away off site somewhere. So in case your house burns down, you got those backups. I mean, that's a little bit to the extreme, but if your data is important enough, then you should be doing those kind of backup regimens.
Dave, you say that's extreme. Here's my backup routine.
Well, I'm sure
So,
you're up there too with it, yeah.
Time Machine, so that if I accidentally screw up a file right now, I can just grab it right now.
Right.
Then I have a nightly backup that goes to an external drive via Super Duper. Then once a week, I have my big backup that happens to a different drive via Carbon Copy Cloner. So yes, I actually have
You got
backups
Super Duper
of
and Carbon Copy Cloner.
applications in case one stops working. And then Backblaze is just running all the time.
Pretty much there with you. Carbon Copy Cloner and the Time Machine, and I use Chronosync too.
Yeah, see, there you go. Be like us. Be smart. Don't lose your data.
It's and it sounds, I know, extreme, but I'm constantly shocked by both iPhone users and Mac users, and well, for that matter, PC users too. Who do you realize how much stuff is on your machine? And I don't mean in bulk, but I mean the kind of information, all those photos that you really hold dear, but arguably more importantly, probably tax information, banking information, brokerage information, investment information, retirement information, you know, medical information.
Taxes.
I can keep on attack. Yeah, I can keep on going. And so why wouldn't you pay attention to this and do something about it? And
Yep.
it just for and for so little money.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Well, I know people that complain about spending $2 a month to increase their iCloud storage.
Oh, I know. Kills me. Yeah.
But the
Yeah,
first
very.
time it saves their butt, I have had people come back to me and thank me for pressuring them into spending the $2 a month.
Yep.
All right, so I dropped another link in here, and so we can chat about this one real quick. Canva has bought Serif, which is the company that makes the the Affinity apps, Affinity Photo, Affinity Design, and Affinity, what is it, Design or Designer? I can't remember.
Designer.
Designer.
Yeah, it was the blue icon. That's the one I remember. And then Affinity Publisher. So it's their suite of apps that excuse me, you can use as alternatives to Photoshop, Illustrator, and InDesign. And they've always offered very reasonable pricing, perpetual licensing, which is done, I'm sure, specifically because Adobe does subscription licensing, but now Canva owns them, and they're saying that the excuse me, Serif gets to continue developing their apps and do their thing, but they will not have the resources of Canva behind them, and a lot of us who are users got really worried as soon as the news came out because we've all seen it before. You have an app that you love and rely on, another company buys it, and pretty soon it gets shitified, or they screw over the licensing, or something happens, and you have to go find a different app because it's no longer a useful tool. And so, Serif, they sent out an email to all of us that have licenses saying, we are going to continue to offer a perpetual license option. And they said, even if at some point down the road we do offer a subscription, we will still offer a perpetual license. And so that was somewhat reassuring. And yeah. Anyhow, so what do all of you think?
I mean, that's a pretty classy thing they did because a lot of these software
Yeah.
companies, they went right to subscriptions and said, see you later. We're not gonna, that's your problem. We feel this model works and then we're moving on. So that's
Yeah.
nice to hear they're gonna do it. But again, like you said, that could change at any time. You don't know when these mergers happen. Or
Yeah.
actually outright purchase.
Yeah. Also, they see a market for doing something different than Adobe's doing.
Right.
Yes. Well, and I think that's part of the reason why Canva wanted to acquire Serif, because Canva wants to really compete with Adobe. And this gives them a resource that makes that a much more viable option for them.
Not just that, but I feel like this market is not a zero-sum game like some would like to believe it is. There's room for both of these entities to make a good living and continue to be very useful. Yes, I know Adobe wants to dominate, and Adobe has dominated in a long in so many ways. Canva, sort of had their own little niche, which was a good niche and a nice niche, and they're a great company. They offer great service. This just takes it though to another level. And if you flip it around, Serif was sort of in the same boat. There's not a lot of there's a lot of complementary stuff here, but there's not a lot of overlap. So I feel like this is I'm glad to see it. I'm an affinity user of all their apps and love them. I have used Adobe stuff in the past. I can't justify the cost because I'm only using probably 10% of their power, maybe 10% of the time. So, yes, there are things in there I'd love to have access to, but it just doesn't make economic sense for me. With the Affinity apps, especially Designer, I have access to all that information, excuse me, all those features, and I'm willing to pay for them. And yet I'm not missing anything because I don't have the super high-end desktop publishing or publishing tools that exist there. So, I think there's a I'm going to put myself on the low end of the market. But I think this can get push up into the prosumer end very, very easily and be a very decent alternative.
And a
Go ahead.
plus Canva has over 175 million users. I mean, you got a huge audience with Canva that's going to get potentially attracting some of those folks that might want, what Affinity's products can do. So there's it's a win-win on both sides.
And Chuck, you said you can see this as a viable option. I'm paraphrasing for you, for the prosumer space. And I agree, but I think that you can use these tools as a professional as well. I was a Creative Cloud user for years, and I switched to the Affinity Suite quite a while ago, actually, and it didn't even have all the features that it has now. And even then, I was able to transition over and not look back. There was a window during the transition where there were a couple things in Photoshop that I used all the time that weren't in Affinity Photo yet. And then there was also that stretch where Affinity Publisher didn't exist. So there was no InDesign alternative. Luckily, at that point, I wasn't using InDesign very much, so I was able to get by. But point being, I have been using the Affinity apps for years now, without any need to go back to Creative Cloud for anything.
Jeff, I didn't want to push myself into the pro market because I'm not qualified to talk about that. Now I'll paraphrase for you there just a little bit.
Okay.
The idea that Creative Cloud has all these incredible features, I equate that to sort of a music service having, 10 billion songs. But if they don't have the artist that I want, then
Then
I
it
don't
doesn't
care.
matter.
But yeah. And so here, Creative Cloud has features that I don't want or need. Serif, and I'm paying for those. They have features I would use, but they have I'm paying for a lot that I don't use. Serif lets me pay for things that are a lot closer to home that I'm using a much higher percentage of the feature set. So it just kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, basically the same reason I use Pixelmator.
Which is also an absolutely fantastic tool. It's on my computer as well. All right, so here's the feature that I think Canva should focus on integrating into the Affinity Suite right away, and it will make the Affinity tools much more palatable to a wider range. Collaboration. That's something you do get with Creative Cloud that you don't get with the Affinity Suite. But that's something Canva can already offer. So roll that into the Affinity apps. And man, that's going to make this much more compelling to a much wider audience.
Well, Jeff, and also the ability to open Canva assets. I mean, you can use the Canva editor and that's fine, but if you want more power, then open some of those assets in one of the Affinity apps and make the round tripping super easy. It might not even be round tripping, it just may be an integration.
I could see it as an integration.
Yeah,
Yeah, I mean,
so
I
go ahead, Ben.
sorry, Ben.
yeah, I can definitely see this all working together more flawlessly in future versions.
Sure. And I'm certain that's part of the intent with this purchase.
And the combined entity may have an easier time figuring out a way to integrate machine learning and AI, sorry, but into the product, since they're now two teams working together, as opposed to trying to, figure out how to do each on their own.
I could see their AI ML efforts accelerating. We're already seeing that in these tools. So where they could take it their combined resources, that's very compelling. So I guess what I'm saying is that I'm ca very cautiously optimistic that this is going to work out well. But if it doesn't, this will not be the first time, nor will it be the last time that tools that I have come to rely on heavily get purchased by another company, get trashed, and then I have to go find something else.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what isn't trash? In fact, it's amazingly awesome.
TCL, TCL.
ESO
Oh
host.
my God, you guessed it. ESO hosts. That was amazing. You guys, you're so smart. Yeah, TSO hosts. And what makes them so amazingly awesome? No, wait, what is it? What did Jaws say? His AI
Amazing,
thing?
incredible.
Amazingly incredible. You know what makes TSO host amazingly incredible? It's that they
I'm sorry,
offer
absolutely incredible.
absolutely
Okay.
incredible. Okay, so don't worry, I'll fix it in post. You know what makes TSO host absolutely incredible is that they offer really good services, really good customer support, and really good pricing. And what they're doing is taking all the things that they do, so web hosting, server storage, bandwidth, all of that, and giving it to us so that we can be here and bring shows to you every single week. So they give us that bandwidth so we can live stream to you every single week. They give us the hosting space we need so that there's a place for the BTN website to live. And they give us the server storage space we need so that all of the show recordings have a place to live so that you can watch or listen to the episodes that you want anytime you'd like. And without their support, because these resources, it takes a lot to make it happen. Without their support, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. So we really, really appreciate what TSO Host is doing and that they're here for us. So thank you, TSO Hosts. And now that I've said thank you, please, all of you, hop out on social media and thank TSO Host as well. It's a really small thing to do, but it goes a long way. And it's important that they know excuse me, that the way they're giving back to the community is being appreciated. Excuse me, I'm so choked up about it. Anyhow, so thank you, TSO host, for being here. Now, let's say that you are ready to buy some domain names. That's something that TSO host does as well. They can help you with that. They make it super easy to do. And they offer good prices. So when you're ready to buy some domain names, why not go ahead and just get them through TSO Host? And when you get your domain names in your cart, be sure and add the discount code BTN20 so that you get 20% off your order. So not only are they going to offer you great support, an easy way to buy your domain names and a good price, they're going to give you a discount just because you're part of the BTN family. So that's super awesome. And again, thank you, TSO hosts, for being here. And now here comes the part where, oh man, Patrice is so much better than I am at this. All right. So let's see if I can manage to get through this. We have a live chat that happens when we're recording the shows. And so you can participate in that and you can chat back and forth with us. And that's where you're going to find links to the articles we're discussing. That's where you're going to find the links for the cool things that we're about to share. And how do you get into that? Okay, first off, so far, I think I'm doing really good with explaining the chat. Now, here's where it falls apart on me. And see, Dave's already facepalming because he knows. All right. So let's say you want to participate in the chat as the show is happening. Okay, there's one where it's at the beginning and one where it's at the end. I believe this is the beginning. So that would be chat.britishtechnetwork.com. And you go there. And then you can sign into the live chat. And then you can participate with us, and you can ridicule me if you please for not being able to adequately get through describing all of this, even though it's actually not that difficult to do. I do not know what my dysfunction is. Anyhow, so then let's say that you're watching or listening to the show after the fact. You can still go and see the chat that happened during the recording. So you can still get to all of the links that will be there. And to do that, so that one must be the one that's at the end. Oh, I think I have a way to remember it now. The beginning is when we start, so that's when chat is at the beginning of the URL. After the fact would be at the end, so chat goes at the end. So that would mean britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Go there, and then you can find the recording, not the recording. Oh my God. You can find what you'll find. Holy crap. What you'll find is a really nice calendar that Patrice made. It looks really cool. And click on the day for the show. So today would be March 29th,
29.
2024. And you click on that, and then you can find the show that aired that day. Click on that, and you can see the chat from that day. So you can still get to all the links. And did I get through all of it? Did I actually describe the chat?
Close enough. You
Close
did.
enough. Okay. But I think I had a major breakthrough before
Right down.
or during breakdown. Doo, 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 doo. Chat at the beginning is for when the show's happening. Chat at the end is for after the show. There we go. Well, that only took me years to figure out. All right. So with that, we got through all of that. It's much better when Patrice does it.
Yes.
Let's do some cool things. And the first cool thing is Dave.
Yes, it is literally Dave. Dave is the
Yes.
cool thing.
Well, I talked about this on the show a couple weeks ago. This is a new wireless CarPlay adapter I had found here. It works with basically any car from 2017 onward that basically had CarPlay. Has a really good interface. I was using the Garland ones in the past, and they sometimes have some glitchy things. Been using this for a few weeks now, and it connects flawlessly. It just connects to Bluetooth. You plug it into your USB port inside the console of your car, and away you go. And it'll work pretty much with anything that's out there that has CarPlay in your car. Even give you a USB-C adapter because some cars have the USB-C plugs now. So they're really progressing there. They're saying actually from 2015 on. I didn't think CarPlay was that had gone back that far, but possible. Mine's a 2018, so it did work. So and they got it's a really good price, $55, but there's a 20% coupon in here too, so you can save even more money on this thing. So well worth the investment. It's a small little device, not very big at all. It's got the braided cord connected to it, and so it's a really good quality product. I was very impressed.
Nice. So $54.99 right now.
You get 20% off.
And you can get 20%
Yep.
off. Nice.
Mm.
All right. Well, I'm glad it's working.
Thanks.
Cool. Okay, so next, Ben, your cool thing.
Okay. So there is a little controller known at, that took the world by storm, known as the Backbone One. Well, they haven't stood pat or stood back. I can't talk. Stood pat and have now released the Backbone One second generation. It is, yep, it is in both. Standard black and white PlayStation edition in both Lightning and USB-C for your iPhone or Android phone of choice, depending on your connector. It's got a better D-pad, a some new magnetic adapter plates. But it's, it is truly the best, one of the best mobile game controllers out there, now even better.
This is the one where I think I made a comment when you were talking about the first gen version, where it's the thing that lets you turn your iPhone into a Nintendo Switch, basically. Very cool. And $100. Oh, it has a headphone jack too. I didn't realize that.
And either Lightning or USB-C pass through.
Very nice. Cool.
So we can all go see Chuck Pone the Noobs.
As he does. My favorite part is when he jumps into the middle of a melee and yells, "Leroy Jenkins!" And just goes to town.
And you never see Chuck just camping.
No, you don't. This is great. For once, I know the things we're talking about, and Chuck is like, I don't even know the words that are coming out of their mouth.
I have no idea what you're talking about. I'm not sure whether I should be insulted or complimented, so I'm just staying quiet.
Take it as a compliment.
Okay, I will. I will.
Awesome. So Bob Beach is at a loss right now as well. Just go do a Google search on Leroy Jenkins. And it is glorious. All right. Speaking of glorious, Chalk, what's your cool thing?
He'll show us his glorious intent.
Yes.
Okay, so here's the deal. This may give you heartburn, or it may help save you money, or maybe a little bit of both, because right now it's giving me heartburn. And this is Apple's certified refurbished store. I've bought a lot of hardware through this store. I've never been disappointed. I've never had, I think, I take that back. I had one issue and it was rectified immediately. There was no question about it. Just send it back. We'll send you another one, period. And you can save sometimes a substantial amount of money. Right now, I've been perusing the store, looking and watching for the M3s to see when they'd appear in the store. They've been appearing happily, not in the configurations that I wanted. Well, last night, one popped up that does have the configuration I want, and now I'm
Uh-oh.
struggling with it. So it's just, I would tell you, go and look. Stuff comes and goes, like any refurbished operation. So by all means, just check back often. But if you're in the market for a new machine and you're not quite hung up on the all the new machine smell and all that, take a good hard look at this, because these products do not come to you beat up or anything like that. They come to you that, honestly, I think you barely would notice that they are refurbished machines. But again, they can save you a lot of money.
The Revision A Retina MacBook Pro that I had while I was with Geekbeat, that came refurbished. They do come with that new PC smell, because Apple just basically sets them back to like new and gives you a significant discount.
Yeah, they come in a brown box, not the pretty printed box.
Yeah,
That's how
but other than
you
that,
know it's a refurb.
but other than that, you're getting basically a brand new PC with a brand new warranty for a substantial discount, and you'll love it.
And Ben, that's a good point. This is not a compromise warranty. It's the same warranty. I've kind of come to look at a lot of the purchases there as this feels like having AppleCare thrown in for free and maybe still getting a little bit of a discount. So because the particular configuration I'm looking at right now, yeah, I would still be getting a discount over and above if I purchased the machine or purchased the refurb and paid for a retail AppleCare. I still save money off just buying it straight out retail. So I would, if I pulled the trigger on it, I would be buying a machine that is a whole lot more powerful, And getting just an amazing, a crazy amazing value. And if I pay with my Apple credit card, guess what? I get 3% back as well. So see, this is why I was afraid to bring this up, because I slowly am talking myself into it. And I really, I'm in that position of want versus need.
Are you sure, Chuck? Because this is a business tool.
Yeah, I know it's a business tool, Jeff. Thank you.
Oh crap, I can get a 16-inch for 21.99 or $21.19.
Uh-oh. See, Chuck, you're spreading the love. You're doing your part
16-inch.
for the economy.
What, Ben? M3?
M3 Pro.
What's the configuration that you're looking at?
12 core, basically base, which would be normally $24.99. In space, in that new lovely space black.
Yeah, the thing that's holding me back, I've always used 16-inch machines, and the one I'm looking at is the 14, with the configuration I want, and I'm still struggling with that just a little bit.
Chuck, I got my M2 MacBook Pro in the 14-inch configuration. And that was a big leap for me, because I've always been the bigger screen. And going from a 16 to a 14-inch display, I wasn't sure how that was going to work out for me. But when I'm here in my place, I'm using a big screen anyhow, so the smaller screen isn't a big deal. For most of what I do, I can do it on a 14-inch screen, and it's not that big of a deal. If I'm doing stuff on the laptop without my big screen, but I really need more space, then I have the option of connecting an iPad and using that as a second screen, or I have one of the portable flat panel external displays that I can plug in.
Yep, I have a right now I'm running the 14-inch M1 Pro with a 15-inch 4K external display.
Yeah, and I have a 15-inch external display. Mine is not the 4K model, but that's because for me, it's not a tool that I'm using all the time. It's just occasionally when I'm out and about, I need the extra display space. So I didn't need to spend the extra money on a 4K. Chuck, we're doing our best to help you out here.
Oh yeah, I can tell. I can tell. Yeah. Yeah. It's, so and part of me says, even though it's very, very unlikely anything would be introduced at DubDub, it's like this may not be the best time to do it. So I don't know. We'll see what happens by the end of the weekend.
I can't wait to hear about your new computer.
Yep, we
Thank you,
can't wait.
Jeff.
We can't wait to see it next week on Friday.
Yep.
You guys are
All
bad.
right. So, my pick will cost you a lot less, although it has gone up in price over the past few days. So my pick is for all of us that are in the Americas, because we have a solar eclipse coming up very soon. And if you're in the path of the eclipse, even if you're not in the path of totality, like for me, where I am, we will have 60% coverage. It's still so cool to get to see eclipses. So eclipse glasses are great for that. And the link that I have dropped, this is the brand that I have. And there's a bunch of different brands out there. The trick is to make sure that you're getting the ones that have the NASA approval, if you will, because it's just not like putting sunglasses on. You need special lenses so you don't burn your eyes. And this package that I have, it's a 10 pack of glasses. So when I'm outside looking at the eclipse and my neighbors come out, I can hand them some glasses so they don't go blind. This one also comes with a filter for your smartphone. So it's like a big disc that has the filter on it, and you hold it over the lenses on your camera. What I did during the big eclipse we had was at 2017, where I actually drove to Wyoming so that we could be in the path of totality. These discs weren't a thing. So we were taking our glasses, like we'd have a pair on, and then we'd take another pair and hold it over the lenses on our cameras to try and take photos. And I mean, it worked, but it was a pain. Having the actual filter that you can just hold on your phone while you're taking the photos, that'll be great. So right now they are $20. When I bought them, they were $11. So there you go. That's how capitalism works. You get a really cool eclipse coming through your area, and suddenly they jack up the prices on the glasses. So anyhow, even if you don't get these, there are others that are basically the same, just different brand, and you can get them for cheaper. And there you go. So, and as Bob Beach points out, supply and demand, there you go. Yep. And these companies, they will run out of their inventory before we get to the eclipse. I guarantee you, all these places are just good luck getting eclipse glasses a few days before the eclipse. So hopefully my favorite little local brewery will be doing an eclipse party. So I'll be able to hang out there. We'll have some really good beer and watch the for us a partial eclipse, and it'll just be loads of fun. All right. So speaking of loads of fun, that's exactly what this show has been today. And it's time for us to wrap up. So, Ben, where can people find you?
Here, you can find me right here and now.
Oh, there you are. You're right.
But you can find me on social media at Ben Rathig. On Tuesdays, you can find me on Mech Forces Live with that Chuck Joyner guy who's going to buy a MacBook. On Thursdays, you can find me on In Touch with iOS, which is Dave Ginsberg. And every Thursday and Friday, you can find me here on the British Tech Network with no British people.
Right. Yeah. Chuck, where can people find you?
I'm not British, but you can find me at macvoices.com. That's where we publish all kind of conversations with everybody here, along with a lot of our other friends, interviews with software developers, authors, anybody that will talk to me, I'll pretty much talk to. Mac Voices Live on Tuesday nights, as has been mentioned, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And on pretty much all of the socials, or all of the major ones anyway, I'm at Chuck Joyner.
Awesome.
And I'm not buying a laptop yet.
Yes, you are.
Yet, that only means in this moment. Yeah. And also, you said yet. So, what I'm hearing is there's still a chance.
Yes. Thanks, Joe.
Sure thing.
Oh.
Dave, where can people find you?
You find me at In Touch with iOS and intouchwithios.com. Next Thursday is our celebrating our 300th episode. Everyone on this panel will be there to
Amazing.
celebrate with me, and a few other surprises. You can find us on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/intouchwithios. I'm on here on Fridays. I'm on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays, and I'm on Mastodon at DaveG65 at mastodon.com.
Awesome. And in the chat, I see Bob Beach pointing, or excuse me, the third pointing out that the British are in the chat. And yes, so thank you. Oh, Chuck, and you read my mind. Thanks for presenting. Yeah. All right. So where can people find me? How about Jay Gamut on social media? And I'm active right now on Mastodon and Instagram and Threads. And then for shows, I don't know why, but Chuck Joyner keeps letting me join in on Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. And I don't know. Then on Thursdays, I don't know why, but Dave Ginsberg keeps letting me join in Touch with iOS. Then here on the British Tech Network, and I know why I get to keep being here, and it's because Ewan is busy off doing other stuff, and he just has no idea what I'm doing. Anyhow, here on the British Tech Network, Thursdays for the Big Show, Fridays for the Mac Show. Then also, Brian Chaffin and I, we do the Context Machine. So, with that, wow, thank you to all three of you for just being so wonderfully awesome. And this has just been so much fun. And what a wonderful way to kick off the weekend. So, yeah, this is great. And for those of us on the west side of the Atlantic, this is the last show where we are showing up at a weird time. It'll be back to regular times for us next week because UK and EU do their springtime change this weekend. So we will all be here an hour earlier next week because it'll be back to normal time.
Yeah, for the Brits, you won't notice a thing. Right.
No. It'll, yeah, just do your thing. We'll show up when we're supposed to and it'll be fine. All right. So with that, wow, thank you all of you that have joined in today and are participating in the chat as well. You are all awesome. I'm so glad you're here. And all of you that watch or listen to the show recordings later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. You are all awesome too. And Ewan, thank you for being just you. And Muller, thank you for making sure we have people for shows. TSO host, thank you for being here and supporting us. Give them some online love, people, and use that BTN20 discount code too. And also, oh no, I just did TSO host. Okay, so that means now it's time to talk about the Daily News Show. Check it out. Kyle is amazing. 5 minutes of your morning. It's just waiting through for you and you get up the tech news that you need. And so check it out. It's a really great show. And it also takes extra money to make that one happen. So go to the BTN website, click the button to send some money in to help support the BTN show so that we don't have to ever worry about it disappearing because it is such a great resource. And with that, be sure to join us next Thursday for the big show. Then again, next Friday for the Mac show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.